And honoring of God flows down from proper government, from proper order. And we just thank you for it, and we give you all the praise and all the glory for what you're doing by your Spirit. And Lord, as always, I just trust the Holy Spirit showing up, Lord God, and showing out, Lord God, because if he don't show up, Lord God, I fall flat on my face. I yield completely and totally unto him. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. How many people have their books? Okay, open up your books to page 154. Open up your books to page 154. We're going to be talking about how to reap honor rewards. We've talked a lot about different areas of people who missed it in the area of not walking in honor, and those who did, but we're going to look at what it's going to take for us to reap honor rewards in our lives. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to key in on the first one or two paragraphs. See, I'm gonna begin reading on page 151. And before I start, one of the things I want to point out: the most important thing in your destiny in life is for you to fulfill the plan of God for your life. The most important thing in your destiny, you're getting to your destination, is that you fulfill the plan and the purpose or the call of God for your life. Nothing else is more important than you fulfilling that call and doing whatever God called you to do. It says here, this is what the author is saying in page 154, says, when developing generational anointings, whether it's our physical or spiritual sons, there is a 7-point development plan to develop the seed of honor. And I like to say it as a 7-step developmental plan to develop the seeds of honor. And those steps are: number 1, called; number 2, commissioned; number 3, competent; number 4, conduct; number 5, continuity; number 6, confidence; and number 7, control. And we're going to start off with, we may try to get into number 2 tonight, which is the commission, but we're going to key in tonight on called. It said to be called, and it's giving you a verse of scripture in Ephesians 4:7 says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. In other words, God has given to each and every one of us grace, his special endowed favor, God's anointing, God's gifting to each one of us according to the measure of Christ. In other words, each and every person in here, God knew you before the foundations of the world, and he called you unto his glory for a particular purpose. And it's so very important that we fulfill that purpose, because if we want to bring honor to ourselves and honor to God, the only way you can do it is by fulfilling the will of God for your life and walk in that calling. And we're going to talk about a little bit about fivefold ministry gifts, but it's not just, you know, people say, well, I don't feel like I'm called into the fivefold ministry gifts. Walking in the ministry of helps is also a calling. And you can't take that lightly at all. I'll never forget, I'm going to say this, and we're going to read the rest of another paragraph or so. Several years ago, there were some ministers who visited the church. And after church, we all went out to eat. And they looked at me and they said, "So what do you do in the ministry?" You know, here at Word of Life Christian Center. And I said, I'm just in the ministry of helps. And the pastor stopped me. He says, "No, you're not just in the ministry of helps. You are a vital part of the church, fulfilling a role and an assignment to help undergird your pastor to fulfill the vision that God's called him to. You can't look at it as just ministry of helps, because some people they try to look at it from that perspective. But no, I mean, what you do is key and pivotal to helping your man of God, your pastor, do what God has called him to do. And one of the things I always tell people, you are more anointed doing what God has called you to do than any other time in your life. When you pick up that calling and that gift and that talent, whether it's singing, whether it's ushering, whether it's a greeter, whether it's a parking lot attendant, the anointing of God comes upon you to fulfill your assignment, to fulfill your role. And when you're faithful in that, God will promote you and move you to something else, you know, based upon and it's always as He will. Amen. So let's finish reading up here. It says, a calling from God is the first step to being successful in ministry. A calling of God is the first step. So if you want to be successful in ministry and you want to bring honor, rewards upon you, the first step is fulfilling, that first step is fulfilling the call of God is going to make you successful in ministry. It says here, in Jeremiah 1:5, God told the prophet Jeremiah that he was called. Ezekiel was also called by God. The apostle Paul constantly opened up a lot of his writings. You know, Paul, an apostle called by the will of God. You know, I'm kind of skipping ahead of myself, but the calling always comes from God. The commissioning comes from men that God had appointed, but God calls you. Because you remember, we'll read this in a little bit, when God told Elijah to anoint Elijah to be prophet over his room, and he cast his mantle on him. And then Elijah said, let me go and first, you know, say farewell to my family and do this. And he said, whatever I had to do for you, well, about you. He says, I didn't call you. He said, I didn't call you. God called you. I'm just obeying God. And sometimes there's more than one commissioning where hands are laid upon you by the presbytery, or words are spoken over your life, you know, to confirm what you already have in your spirit. Amen. You know, and that's so very important. Let me move on. It says, finding individuals that are called physically and spiritually, when you find them, put them into their calling. And that's so very important. One of the jobs of the apostolic, and we see it through LTMA, through what God is doing with our apostle and the circle of LTMA, is positioning people to fulfill their destiny and putting them into their calling. I remember some 20 plus years ago when the apostle went into his office, and I've shared the story before. I had a question about another matter that didn't even pertain to ministry. Well, it did, but it was just we were doing circles at that time, our cell ministry. He answered the question and he said, but you're in here for another reason. He says, sit back down. I was about to get him and walk out. He says, I want you to get involved in the prison ministry. And I want you to begin to develop the gift of God that's on the inside of you. And so he told me to get with people who were already doing it, and whatever they told me to do, do it. You know, and I've been doing that for the last 25, 26 years. You know, but the reason why I'm saying that, you know, I knew as a young man, I mean as a boy, that God had something for me. I knew it from, you know, and I've shared those stories. I'm not going to get into it, but God will use men to confirm it. And as this verse says right here, find individuals that are called physically and spiritually. When you find them, put them into their calling. If you will honor that calling and speak into that calling, it is the first step to the rewards, to reaping the rewards of honor. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah, who was working the family farm, was called into ministry by Elisha after the instructions he received from God in the cave. For Elijah to be honored, listen to this, for Elijah to be honored as a prophet, he first had to show honor in ministry by serving. So the for him to be honored, he had to first serve his man of God. And see, that's where so many people miss it. They get the call and they go running off to do something. You know, and that's the worst thing you could do, because If you're not trained, if you're not disciplined, if you're not developed, if you haven't matured, you know, you're destined for disaster. You know, you're an accident really waiting to happen, you know. And that's what, you see, when, that's why the apostolic is so important. You know, if your pastor don't lay hands on you and send you out, you have no business leaving. You really don't. You don't, you know. And even if you got a burning desire, because if he is truly your pastor, your man of God, your apostle, God will confirm it through him. And when the timing is right, when you've went through the proper steps to get where you need to go, now you're going to see God put his hand upon you to confirm it through your pastor or the apostle to go out into ministry. That's so very important. Okay, let me give you a definition of a calling. What does it mean to be called? A strong inner urge or prompting from the Holy Ghost to fulfill your vocation or assignment, a divine call to be called, summoned by God into ministry. Now I said summoned by God into ministry. It is a leading by God into your God-given vocation, calling, or assignment. That's so very important that you understand that. You are also called, and I already stated this, into the ministry of help. God blesses you with gifts and skills and talents for his glory, and so that you can undergird your man of God. That's so very important. Okay, Proverbs 11:4 says, where there is no counsel, where no counsel is, the people fail. But if in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And that's so very important, because if there's no counsel or no one to speak into your life, instruction, apostolic instruction, you know, inside apostolic instruction, there's going to always be safety. There's always be a covering, a protection there, you know, because one of the things the apostle just said, you know, he said, I love you, you know, because he wants the best for us, you know, and he wants us to go out with everything we need. You know, it blessed me when he said, I want my instructors to stick to the book. So I say, Lord, we sticking to the book. You know, we're gonna stick to it like white on rice, you know, because that's part of the assignment. You know, that's because there's a blueprint. And when you follow the blueprint, anybody who ever built anything, they didn't just go out and start putting some wood together. I mean, you might have did it, but you didn't come out with a house. You know, the Bible says what? Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. You know, so the Lord has to build your spiritual house and give you the equipping that you need in order that you might be successful. It says here in Ephesians 4:7, but to every one of us is given grace. And that grace is a special endowment or anointing according to the measure of the gift of God. All right. It says, wherefore, he said, when he ascended on high and he led captivity captive, he gave gifts unto men. I'm reading out of Ephesians 4:9 now. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up above all the heavens, that he might fulfill all things. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And what did he give these gifts for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing, for the nurturing of the saints, for the equipping of the saints. That's what the ministry gifts are for, to equip, to help perfect, which means to mature, so that you can be a discipline. That's what disciple, the word disciple comes from the word discipline, discipline one, so that you can be disciplined. A disciplined student follows instruction in school. A disciplined student is going to pay attention, you know. Sometimes people, again, I like what the apostle said, in society now, there's a lot of programs, a lot of activities to cater to people. And the gospel was never meant to cater to people, but to fulfill God's plan. You know, this is not, years ago, Burger King had a slogan called, "Have it your way." No, it can't be your way. It's God's way or the highway. Amen. Because you're going to get left behind and not fulfill the purpose of God for your life. Let me move on. And he said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work. The apostle emphasized the word perfecting, maturing, for the work. You know, there's a work to be done. And the only way the work can be done, you got to be perfected. You got to be matured. I'm going to give you an illustration. About 2 Sundays ago, we had a prison ministry meeting at Dixon Correction Facility. And there's what they call inmate pastors, who are people who put in a position of a pastor who's still an inmate. They've went through some training. There is a kind of discipleship institute there in the prison system to get them up to that particular position. But every time this particular inmate would get up in the role of a pastor, he would, instead of encouraging, admonishing, now you correct, but at the same time, you want to build up. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to encourage. He was constantly tearing them down. You know, "You're not doing this, you're not doing that," you know. And he just kept going on, and it was grieving my spirit. I'm sitting on the front row listening to him, and I'm saying, you know, I say, "Lord," I said, if I talk to my wife like that, okay, and if I, you know, made remarks about my wife like that, she would never have intercourse with me no more, you know. This is, but now from a spiritual perspective, because, you know, as a pastor to the congregation, there's an intimacy, okay? There's a spiritual intimacy. So when you disrespect and you tear down, they're never going to receive from you. There's never going to be that. The word is called koinonia. There's never going to be that fellowship that should be to where you're receiving the word like you want it. And so after he finished, I got up and I greeted the people, and then I called him up, and he stood to the side, and I rebuked him. You know, the Lord told me to basically tell him, always preach up to the people, never preach down to them. Now, when a person gets saved, they get convicted because of the preaching of the word. You know, after that, they need to be encouraged. They need to know who they are in Christ and grow up in the things of God. Just like you nurture a child, you need to nurture the flock. You know, the Bible says to feed the flock of God, you know, which he purchased with his own blood. And I just went on, and he stood there and he received it. If I did not submit to apostolic authority and having sit under the apostle for the years that I've sat under him, I couldn't do what I did, because he received it. And even the people, after it was over with, they came up to me and said, "What you shared was some of the same things we were talking about just before you guys came in," you know. And I'm, you know, and I'm not just one, but 4, 5, 6 people. But see, that's what government will do. It will set in order or set in place the things that are lacking. So that every joint can supply. Every joint in your body has a specific purpose, a specific function. And if everything from the knees to the elbows to the ankles to the feet to the toes, if everything is working fine, you're one perfect mechanism. You know, you can do some work. You can go out and be productive without any hindrances. And that's what apostolic order. And that's why it's so important to understand the purpose of the calling, and flow in that gift, flow in that calling, whether it's singing, whether it's ministering the word in teaching, or whether it's an usher, or whether it's working in the nursery. You know, that's a gift, and God has bestowed it upon you for a specific purpose, for such a time as this, so that you can function The Bible says so that we can function as one man, you know, so that the word of God won't be bound, and that the people, you know, what really blesses me, I teach our foundation class, is when a new member comes up to me and says, from the time I drove onto the property, there was parking lot attendants who found me a parking spot. When I got to the door, somebody opened the door and they greeted me. When I walked in the sanctuary, when I got into the main sanctuary, there was ushers there who found me a seat, you know, and they were just saying how they just felt so welcome. So each person that they met from the time they turned off of 22 was operating in a ministry of excellence. You know, so now this person here, they're just, wow, this is, I like this, you know, and then you walk in, they're already singing, you know, they're praising God. Everybody's in one accord. We didn't already pray. So the atmosphere already set for what? The move of the Holy Spirit. And so they can come right into a service and now begin to receive right off the bat. You know, so if there was any heaviness or there was any burdens, it got left at the car. Why? Because the atmosphere was set, you know, and so, but it took, and this is before the man of God ever comes into the pulpit. Okay. You see, so that's what I'm, and then if they have children, you got a nursery that take your kids in and nurture the kids. So you don't have to be trying to keep them quiet. You know, all of this flows together, you know, and that's why knowing the calling and operating in that calling is so very important, because you play a vital role in your ministry, fulfilling the will of God, you know. So don't take whatever you do lightly. Camera person, you know, oh God, thousands of people are watching the footage that you produce. You know, your fluid movements on the camera, making sure you got the man of God centered, making sure that the product that we are putting out is quality, you know. So drummers, I mean, instruments, you know, the minstrels of praise is what you are. You know, you're setting the atmosphere, you know, calling that talent. Whether it's playing the drums or playing the saxophone or playing the guitar or whatever instrument, the piano, you know, or working the keyboards, it all is you're operating in a calling, in a ministry of helps, or in whatever capacity that God's called you to, you know, to fulfill the will of God, you know, and that's the beauty of it. Functioning and operating as one man, just like the physical body. Like I said, if every joint, if every organ and tissue in your body, but once something, if your head hurt, you can't function 100%. You know, if you got a hangnail, every time you walk, it's hindering you. You know, any little thing, but we need to flow together as one man. And my time is just ticking away. Praise God. Let me move on. I need to stick to the book. Amen. All right. A successful, you know, one thing, I don't have a problem following instructions. Amen. Because if you don't follow instructions here, you get set down. Amen. Glory to God. A calling from God is the first step towards successful ministry. If you are not called, and I talked about this last week, and the apostle made mention of it today, you don't want to walk in another man's calling. You stick to what God has put in your heart. Don't walk in an office or try to walk in an office that God has not called you to. Psalms 127:1, and I quoted it earlier, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waited in vain. Jeremiah 1:5, God told the prophet Jeremiah that he was called. He says in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest out of the womb, I sanctified thee. In other words, I set you apart before you came out your mother's womb. Think about that. God is no respecter of persons. So before God, before you came out of your mother's womb, you were already separated unto God. Word sanctified means to separate you. Separate you from the world, separate you unto a divine calling. He told Jeremiah, let me get back to it. He said, I have sanctified thee and ordained thee to be a prophet unto the people. You know, Jeremiah didn't automatically walk into that office, but he by obeying God systematically, the process, by fulfilling, you know, I'm sure there was somebody he had to sit under and grow and develop and be nurtured, you know. But before he came out of the womb, before he was even conceived, God already had a purpose and a plan. Same with each and every one of us. God has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1, 5, 4 and 5. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated. That word predestinated means before anything was, he already had something planned for us. Before the world was formed, he already had a plan for us, okay? We were predestined. He predestined us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. God, you know, we are all set in the body of Christ as it pleased him. The calling, that's so very important. You're never going to fulfill and have any fulfillment until you begin to pursue that call of God for your life. That is so very important. 1 Timothy 4 and 14 says, neglect not the gift that's in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, which with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. You don't want to neglect the gift that's on the inside of you. Don't neglect it, you know, because that was put there by God and by God only. And your success, your peace, your victory, all depends upon you fulfilling and doing that and pursuing it with all the gusto, that you got. I mean, just, you know, the expression going hog wild for it. Just, I'm just going for broke. Because God desires for you to fulfill the will of God for your life. Amen? Amen. All right, let's move on. Ezekiel also was told by God that he was called. The apostle Paul constantly, we talked about it in his writings, talked about, you know, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints that are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Jesus Christ. You know, even Jesus himself, the Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested. Why? That he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came. He says, I came, you know, to the world to destroy the works of the devil, you know, so that we can be set free. You know, God had a specific plan for him. You know, God has a specific plan for everybody. But the Lord said unto him, go ye the way. Well, I'm sorry. Let me start from. Yeah, this is with Paul here. Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. God tell Ananias that Saul was also chosen. And this is what the Lord told Ananias. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. It's talking about Paul. Unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. And I will show him how great things that he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul was chosen, you know. Paul had a decision to make. I think we talked about that last week, or I might have talked about it at another setting. You know, if Paul wouldn't have said, yes, Lord, what you have me to do, I think Paul's life might have ended pretty quick, because Jesus told Paul, why are you persecuting me? Because, see, whatever you've done to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. You know, when Paul said, you know, yea, Lord, you know, like, Lord, is that you? What would you have me to do? And then he told him to go to Ananias. See, the first thing Paul had to do now was submit. Here's a man that was going around killing Christians, but now he accepts his call. You know, that's a good point. You see, the enemy will always try to divert you. with something else that looks glamorous, that might even seem like it's going to give you more fame and fortune, but at the end it's going to destroy you. You know, if it's not the fulfillment of God's will for your life, it's a tangent. It's a you're veering off. When a tangent is when you got something going in one direction, then a branch takes a tangent or takes a turn, you know, steering you in another direction. You know, I think I shared once before, there was a lot of things that I used to enjoy doing, and I still enjoy doing them, but it was steering me away from what God's called me to do. And it was a distraction. See, not everything necessarily is a sin. It could be a weight, and it could hinder you and hinder your progress and hinder the call of God for your life, you know. And to honor God and to walk in honor is so very important that we fulfill that call of God for our lives. Amen. All right. I wanted to get to a specific point here. When you find individuals that are called spiritually by the will of God and confirmed physically by apostolic government, when you find them, you put them into their calling. In other words, it's so very important to have avenues for people to begin to nurture, develop, and perfect the gifts that God's called them to. You know, for me, one of those things was prison ministry. One of those things was teaching the new members class, even here now, because of doing those things, being found faithful in doing those things, I stand before you here. You know, there's always that time of preparation. You know, a lot of times people, you're called to do something and nobody sees you. They don't know what you're doing. You know, is you're working behind the scenes upstairs in a room, you know, folding envelopes or loading something or you know, out in the yard on a tractor, cutting the grass. You know, David was out tending to the sheep, you know, but he was being prepared, because when the lion and the bear came, he was able now to exercise his faith and his trust in his God, you know. And so when the time came for David to come up and be before the people and to represent his God, he had already had some experience with God coming through in his life. You see, nobody saw him when the bear came, when the lion came, and he used the name of Jesus and he defeated those animals, and he was just tending to sheep. But hey, The Bible says that, you know, that we are the sheep of his pasture. You know, from a spiritual point of view, we are God's handiwork, you know. And so now when David is mature and come of age, he goes to bring water supplies to his brothers. But he sees now this 8-foot Philistine who's trying to defile the armies of God. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who wants to defile the? But see, It was the process, and now he's ready to step into something, you know. But even when they gave him armor and swords that he wasn't accustomed to, he says, I have not proven this. You see, that's a man who knows, that's maturity. You know, the world was giving him something, you know, this is what you need. But he said, no, I can't use this because I haven't put this to the test, you know. And you see, what happens with a lot of people is they're getting back to those activities. They trying all this stuff because everybody say this is the way it should go. But when you stick to the program, stick to the assignment, stick to what you know and what you've been taught, you can't help but go wrong. I'm sorry, you can't help but walk in victory. You know, you won't go wrong. Why? Because it's a proven formula. And I shouldn't call it a formula, but it's a pattern. You know, that's where apostolic government comes in. Everybody aligning properly. You know, I'll never forget that Sunday we was at DCI. Some of the other prison ministers were with me One of the guys came up to me and said, what you did was apostolic. And I said, it's because I've seen it done. I've saw the man of God correct, reprove, and correct. You know, he'll cut you, and then he'll take a needle and thread and stitch you back up and send you on your way. You know, I'm serious. I've seen it happen, you know. And so that way, you know, the young minister didn't get offended. He said, I receive, you know. And I'm saying, wow, you know. But it's a process, you know. But if you're not trained, if you haven't seen it done, and one of the things I've learned to do is always pay attention. You know, not everything can be taught. Some things have to be caught. You got to see it. You got to catch it in your spirit and understand it. And actually, you got to nurture. You got almost like a cow grazing in grass, chewing on grass. You got to let it simmer in your spirit, because not everything that you see, sometimes things get so heavy. I say, Lord, I don't know if I can handle this. But you got to let it simmer, just like food on a pot, you know. And the more you let it simmer, the more the flavor now begins to the aroma fills the house. You know, that anointing now begins to resonate on the inside of you, because you've meditated. You see, when you're letting it simmer, what you see, you're meditating, and then God and the Holy Spirit now can begin to bring it back to your remembrance and begin to give you understanding. Because, you know, always ask God to reveal the mysteries to you, you know. But that's the first step in showing honor in regards to the rewards of honor, is walking in your calling. And then once you do that, we're not going to have time to get into it like I want to, is the commissioning. And that's so very important that we understand the commissioning. When a person is commissioned, the act of granting or declaring certain powers of authority, privilege, are granted the authority to carry out a particular task or duty or position in ministry, usually done by the laying on of hands. You know, when you're sent out, the Bible talks about how the Lord sent them, how they were sent out. You know, Peter and Paul and Silas were sent out. You know, people were sent out because they were commissioned. Like I said, the calling comes from God, but the commissioning will come from people who God has put over you. And they see it's time to launch you into different phases of your ministry or your gifting or your talent. You know, there are times people will be called out of the audience, and the apostle will lay hands on them. It's to bestow an anointing to now propel them into greater dimensions of their gifts, of their callings, so that they can be a greater benefit and a blessing to the body of Christ. I remember some years ago when hands were laid upon me, and I actually fell to the floor, and I couldn't get off the floor, and it felt like waves of the anointing just hovering over my body, you know. And I just sat there and I just kind of bathed in it. It was just, I could feel the wave, the warmth, you know. It was a lot of times a transfer takes place and you're not even aware of it, but that helps you to fulfill the call of God on your life. You know, so don't take those moments lightly, because God is doing something in the spirit world or in the spirit realm in your life to help to convey or to come the commissioning of that and the equipping, you know, because you have to be equipped. Whomever God calls, he also equips. You know, he's going to give you the equipment to fulfill the assignment that he's called you to do. You know, because it doesn't make sense to go out on the battlefield if you don't have a gun or you don't have some equipment. You know, nobody goes to war without having the proper equipment. That's so very important that the equipment is there to fulfill the assignment. Amen. All right. We're going to conclude with that. Amen. You guys be blessed, and we'll see you next week.